All right? But this bloke, Stuart, he didn't even know it, but he stole my peace. Right? Stuart the peace thief is what I now refer to him as. So as I'm driving back to the office fuming in traffic, I thought, I'm not going to let this affect me for much longer. Just a little bit longer, and then I'll stop. So, first slide. Thanks, Morgan. Peace. Now, peace and rest, I'm just calling it swapsies. Peace, what is it? So, for each one of us, peace is going to mean something different, yeah? Like, rest means, you know, maybe for some people it's taking a nap, sleeping in, kids being good, kids coming back from over east, mother-in-law moving to Germany is a popular one, right? Peace and rest will mean something different to everyone. And that's good. For some people that work, this holiday season is going to be some peace. Because I just remember my mother-in-law's just over there. Hey, Granny. We like you though, Granny. We like you. Keep me in the will. All right, so peace means something different for everyone, obviously. But God, through the Bible, identifies what peace is for us. Karen apparently been preaching about it in ladies group. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit, which means we can't do it on our own. It's more than tranquility and sitting at the beach with a coffee. It's more than feeling zen. It's more than not having a fight with someone and just coexisting. Ephesians 2 says that he himself is our peace. So this is a surprise to me. And I learnt it on Wednesday night. There's one person in the Bible whose name means rest, right? And it's not like, I didn't know this. And if I had to pick, does anyone know who it is? If you don't yell out, Dad, you're miserable. Does anyone know? No one. So you're all like me. So there's one person in the Bible who, oh, Mark, you know, because you told me, but you're not listening, so it doesn't matter. One person's name means peace, and it's the person, it's Noah. Now, he spent 120 years building something that had never been built before for something that was never, ever had occurred before, and yet his name means peace. And I thought maybe it's because after 120 years of building, all the animals are in the boat and it's raining, maybe it's a bit of peace that, oh, I'm saved. Or maybe there was a slight bit of like humanity in him and he was a bit like, suck on that, I was right, you know. Maybe that brought him a bit of peace, a bit of vindication. But I think what it was, I hope, you know, his name means peace because he was doing what he knew he had to do. He knew that he knew that he had to build this thing. So he was walking in God's will for his life. And that gave him peace. So, peace isn't having zero problems, because you can bet Noah had some problems. Like, we've all watched Bruce Almighty, and we know that's a modern version of building Noah's Ark, and we saw how much of a pain. No, it's Bruce Almighty, isn't it? Oh, Evan. Yes, Evan. Sorry. We all know that it would have been, if he would have got mocked, and he would have been like, people going, what are you doing? You're wasting your whole life building this upside down house, right? Stupid. But he had peace because he knew he was doing what God wanted him to do. So I'm learning that peace isn't a destination, it's a journey. It's a walk, right? It's not where we're going, it's how we get there. But peace is the opposite to stress. So that brings us to, what do we let stress us out? What do we let affect us? What do we give weight to that we value higher than the peace of God? And it's a hard one to identify because we don't know that we're doing it. No one wants to live in unrest. If we did, then how miserable, you know? Everyone wants to be peaceful. Stress is a waste, right? So there's a thing called, I studied construction at uni, and there's some wastes which are okay because they result in a byproduct which you can use. I've got some examples here. Like cheese. When you make cheese, it's got a liquid and then make ricotta out of it, right? So it's a waste, but it's got some value. Aluminium, you know, it's a waste, but it's got some value. Stress is the original invertebrate waste. There's no benefit, zero. Nothing good out of it, right? So don't do it. It's a total waste. Save your energy. Now, we have to identify that caring about something, concern, isn't stress. Like, concern, like intercession is a God-given, it's a gift. Like, Jesus went through trials. Like, when he was just about to go on the cross, we know he was like, I'll say stressing. He was like, look, God, if you can take this cup away from me, do it. But then in Matthew 26, 39, he follows up with, but not my will, yours be done. So he reset his thought immediately and thought, you know what, I'm not going to give this issue that could cause me stress any more weight. I'm just going to stop it there and say, God, I believe you're in control. It's up to you. We know what happened. So we need to not let stress be a waste. Let it be an opportunity for God to lead us in his will. Thanks, Dad. All right. So that is the first swap. God swapping, Jesus is saying, look, let me take your stress, the opposite of peace, and I'll give it to you. I'll give you peace. Slide number two, Morgs. Do I need peace now? Come on, guys. Do I need it? Some people think, I'm doing all right. You know, I'm quite happy the way I am. I think Dad was sort of talking about it just before. Like, without peace, we can find ourselves going around the same me mountain every single day. Do you know what I mean? And God doesn't want us to be going around the same mountain. If it's a journey, it's a passage. Do you know what I mean? If we're doing bog laps, that's wasting time. I don't know if I said this, told you this story before, but it's a good way to identify the gift of peace, a free gift of peace. I was at the gym, and the guy who runs the gym is a Christian, and he was talking to another worker at the gym who had been to church a couple of times, knew a little bit about God, but hadn't made a decision for God. And they were talking, and he's like, the bit I heard, he was like talking about hell and saying hell's going to suck. And as soon as he said hell's going to suck, hey, Ken, you're a Christian. Come over here. I'm like, thanks for leading me in with that, right? Hell's going to suck. Now, usually at the gym, I'm just like, yeah, hell's going to suck. See ya, right? But I didn't. I said, look, hell is a big reason why Christians don't want, like why Christians become Christians. That's a massive, like, let's be real. If you have the opportunity to avoid hell, most people would say, yep, sign me up. I'll take that deal. The guy at my work's like, I'm not going to know anyone in heaven. Why would I bother? But, you know, I pray for him. So I said to this guy, I said, yes, hell is a big thing, but we have life on earth. God's given us a life now that he wants us to not just live, but be successful in. He made us in his image to worship him and live our lives in the way that reflects that. So many people, I said to her, live with anxiety, depression, and just stuff that they don't need to carry for the duration of their life. So yes, although when you're a Christian, you get to go to heaven where there's no shame and no sin and no guilt and life is amazing and no anxiety and depression, but God wants to give us an opportunity to live that out here. And he wants us to live in perfect peace on earth. Like, when you're living in perfect peace, how much easier is it to talk about God to someone when they're looking at your life and say, actually, whatever you've got, that's something that I'll take. When you're miserable, when you're stressed, when you're living a life that seems less peaceful and restful than theirs, why would they come to you for advice? Why would they come to me for advice? They wouldn't, would they? And if they did, it's just lip service. It's not actually beneficial. So the thing about it is when each one of us, if we're born again, when we were born again, we were born again with an inheritance. So a built-in inheritance. Peace is part of that inheritance package. So John 14, 27 says, and it's Mum's favourite song. Mum always sings this to the kids. And when I was a kid, I won't ask you to sing it, Mum. We've got a good crowd. We don't want to kick them out. But they know it off heart. It's peace I leave with... Oh, I'll read it. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let them be afraid. So Jesus left us peace, not what the world says, not tranquility, beach, coffee sipping, millions of dollars in the bank specifically. Jesus left us his version of peace, which is an untroubled heart, no fear. So if that's what you want, if you guys see any benefit in an untroubled heart, we need peace. The devil's aim is to confuse, to make you busy, to make you negative, to look for issues, to cause separation, division, to help, to encourage you to be angry like I was at that shop, to focus on me instead of others. They hurt me, they did this to me, they aren't paying me enough, they aren't giving me enough attention, they haven't thought about me, what about me, Shannon Knoll, right? Living in God's perfect peace is he died for me. He redeemed me from my sin. He loves me. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He saved me. He turned my life around. He turns my sorrow into joy. He makes my crooked path straight. See you, Leaves. Love you, bro. Peace takes the focus off me and puts it where it should be. And that means where we might fail, he can succeed. Peace is acknowledging we're not walking in our own strength. We don't have to rely on yours truly, yeah? We don't have to rely on our ability, our talent, my enunciation and the way I'm conveying this message to you. I don't have to worry about being good enough. I don't have to worry about being worthy, just like salvation. He loves me and saved me anyway, and he gave me this inheritance despite everything that I am, everything that I was, everything that I'm going to be, unfortunately. Super thirsty, guys. Sorry, I'm just going to have a drink. So that's the swap he wants for us. He's saying, look, guys, I'll give you clarity of mind for your mess. All right? Swap. Cash for scrap. That's what we want. Slide number 3. If you guys can turn with me to Matthew 11:27, please. Say nothing when you've got it. All right, you got it? Good. If you haven't got it, you can find it. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except his Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So rest and peace meaning the same thing. It means this comes from, not like I say, tranquility, not from the wife finally being nice to you, not from your friends inviting you to a party. Rest comes from a person. Come to me, Jesus. Yeah. And it's freely available and doesn't have a prerequisite. Rest is a gift from God. So I love this because you don't need to have a holiday at the rich. You don't need $1 million. Jesus says, come to me. That's it. That's the only thing we have to do, that one step. Right? And that's attainable for everyone. People think to have peace, I need to have this. I need to have all these ducks in a row. I need a wife. I need a husband. I need family that help me out. I need kids that are in a private school. Doesn't matter. That's not what peace is. Peace comes from Jesus. Now, I'm going to paraphrase Genesis 22 when God talked to Abraham and said, I want you to sacrifice your son. Because like for me, that conversation is going to steal some peace, right? So Abraham seemed like he was rolling this pretty well. So we've got a lot to learn from this guy. He walks up the mountain and he tells his slaves, stay here. Me and my son are going to go up to worship God. Worship God. He knows what he's about to do. Kill his son. And he calls it worshiping God. I'll come back to you. And then he goes, Isaac is going, Dad, I've done this for a little while now. Where's the sheep? And he's like, don't worry, God will provide. Now, we all know what happened. You know, Isaac had the wood put on him and he was about to be killed, and then God provided the sacrifice for him. We know what happened. But the thing is with Abraham is he didn't know at that point in time what the plan was. He goes, yeah, God will provide. But then at that point, God hadn't provided, so he had to put Isaac on that altar. So he's in his head, he's going, I have faith that this is going to happen. And then he got to the point where his faith had run out, and he's going, crumbs, I've actually got to do this, right? And he still did it. So there's an opportunity for us to learn from that, because sometimes we think we know God's plan, right? And when we think we know God's plan, how much faith do we need? Not that much. When God's plan is new to us, when it's something we don't expect to happen, that's when we know God has to move, because we need to have faith and God has to move. So we can all learn from Abraham in that situation that even though the plan didn't go exactly as he was expecting, his faith was justified and his faith grew, and it had to. 1 Peter 3:8, if you guys can also turn there for me. 1 Peter 3, verse 8. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil for reviling, or reviling for reviling. But on the contrary, blessing, knowing you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. I still am not that awesome at that, so I'm learning. And his lips from speaking deceit. Again, work in progress. Let him turn away evil from evil. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are righteous, but his ears are open, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. We need to remember this verse daily, like in our daily life. We need to seek him. We need to seek peace. We need to pursue it. That involves effort. That means it's not going to come to us without us going to it. Good news is, it's a gift. You ask, you receive. That's a rule, right? It's a gift. But we have to ask for it. We have to seek it. So me, when I'm driving on Reed Highway every day, that gives me an opportunity to seek peace. Right? How do I keep my peace? Last slide. You guys excited? Oh, that's rough. How do I keep his peace? Yes, peace is free, but we need to work for it daily. If peace is a passage and not a destination, then we need to seek it daily. Now, peace is also featured in the armor of God, which is Ephesians 6. Finally, be strong in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can take stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against evil rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then. With the belt of truth buckled around your waist, breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Look for it, find it, put it on, walk in peace. If you're a Christian and you understand how inheritance works, you understand you deserve it. When your mum and dad die, if they've left you something, you get it. That's an inheritance. The thing is, when Jesus left, he left us that inheritance. The good thing is he's still with us. Like salvation, it doesn't need to have a prerequisite of knowledge or experience or position. It only requires us to swap. We have to understand that the inheritance of peace, it's the first cash for scrap. I love collecting 10 cents. Has anyone been collecting the 10 cents for the cans? Jesse and Jamie have. Anyone else, Mike? 1400 bucks Mike told me he got for cat. Is that how much you got now? Still 1400. Come on, that was 2 weeks ago. Slipping, right? So this is the first cash for scrap scheme. Jesus is saying, give me your empty, crummy vessels. I'll hook you up. This is that's the deal with Christianity, right? Darkness for light, sadness for joy, weakness for strength, our lack for his riches, our shame, his mercy, anxiety for courage, pain, sickness for healing, death, eternal life, restlessness for rest, stress for peace. That's what happens when we exchange, when we say less of me, more of you, right? When we sing the songs that say more of you, less of me, that's what it's meaning. Like, I'm on the last page, guys. When I was preparing this, I was a bit nervous because I'm not super theological. I don't have any, like, awesome slides. And I thought to myself, is this going to be enough? But I think, although, like, anxiety and fear and depression and stress and trauma are complex and come from deep-seated issues and they're real, I get that, but God's peace isn't technical. It isn't stressful. I mean, it isn't, like, crazy to understand. It's simple. And I feel like it doesn't need to be anything more than that. It's work, yes. We have to do that first step. It's trust. It's understanding, God, I understand you're going to do this for me. It's faith, right? And it requires a desire for me to give up that stuff that I sometimes don't mind being miserable. Miserableness always finds a friend, right? If you're miserable about something, guaranteed you can find someone that's just as miserable, if not more miserable. Rod likes that. I like that. Even more miserable than you about this thing. True? So miserableness has... So sometimes it's convenient to have that thing that you're whinging about. Like, mate, how hot is it today? Oh, yeah, mate, stinking hot. But 2 weeks ago, I was in Marble Bar, 100 degrees, right? There's miserableness all around the world, right? But the simple thing is, if we are willing to stop going around that mountain, if we are willing to take that straight path, if we are willing to give up that opportunity for miserableness and whinging, then God's saying, I'll take it. If you want me to take it, I'll take it. It's just up to us whether that's what we want. So, I'm going to pray. I haven't done one of these hands up prays before, so you're going to have to just help me out. But I'm going to pray that we're all going to shut our eyes, and I'm going to give everyone an opportunity, including me. If this is something that you're struggling with, it's something that you are willing to make the first step on today to gain back our inheritance, to take back the peace that we are left, then we're just going to put up our hands, simple as that, as a first step. All right, so thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, that you came to give perfect peace. You left us an inheritance of peace, not as the world sees, not the world's type of peace, but your perfect peace. God, as we put up our hands today, we're going to say we are taking that first step to returning what we don't need for what we do need. God, we're swapping all the stuff, all of the stress of life, all of the issues we're going through that we hold on to, we're taking them away and we're giving them to you. And God, we're doing it in faith, and we're doing it because we know that you will come through with your perfect peace. God, I thank you for the opportunity that every single one of us here can take your peace and we can walk with it. And we'll remember every single day to search for it, to pursue it, and to live it out. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, that everything that was spoken today, if it was for the people here, that it will return on good soil. Thank you, Jesus, that you love us and you dwell with us. Thank you, Jesus, that we commit to having less of us and more of you. In Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. Peace of God. goes beyond our understanding, doesn't it? Circumvents the head. Amen. And the devil expects you to be stressed out. You can be in the back of your boat, asleep, on the journey of life. Amen. Well done, son. Good word. Don't know. I haven't got a clue where he gets his humour from. It's not me. Must be you. Must be you. Ain't me. I'm a pom. We don't usually do that. Anyway, praise God. Please stay for a cup of tea and a cup of coffee and some fellowship. That would be wonderful. And have a great week in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.